The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you will find favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall name him Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father. He'll rule over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" The angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. This Gospel, which is one of the most beautiful Gospels in the whole world, that we've probably heard many times, I'd like to point out a detail that I've never preached on before, but the Holy Spirit moves in very many ways, always revealing new truths to us. And it's in this Gospel you actually have two of the most important miracles in the New Testament. What do you think they were? First, they're both related to the birth of a child, but in two markedly different circumstances. As we say in literature, a marked literary contrast. What are they? You have the conception of a baby without their intervention, without human intervention. That is, not the Immaculate Conception, but the virginal conception. There's a difference. That Mary conceived Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, that's not the Immaculate Conception. The Immaculate Conception is Mary being conceived in the womb of Saint Anne. Even very good catechists will confuse these two truths. But the other miracle was a miracle of an older woman conceiving her child in an age that would be way beyond her capability of having a child. And that would be, of course, Saint Elizabeth in the conception of St. John the Baptist. So the thrust of my homily this evening is that Mary can work miracles in your life, if you believe. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is, "Nothing is impossible with God." I love that. Nothing is impossible with God. So with your permission, I'd like to tell you two miracles. And something I'd like to end with that we can learn from the Filipino people and their devotion to Mary. You got some Filipinos here, right? First miracle. Earlier this week, we celebrated the feast of a saint whose name was Saint John Damascene. Or sometimes he's called Saint John of Damascus. It's the same person. In the Catechism of the Catholic Church, we have the definition of prayer is the lifting up of the mind and heart to God. That's from St. John Damascene. One of my favorite definitions of prayer is lifting up the mind and the heart to God. I love that. But John Damascene lived in a time, dangerous time, which he was surrounded by Muslims, would be the ISIS. Guess what happened to him? A Muslim got a hold of him and cut his hand off. Guess what happened? He prayed the Blessed Mother and Mary healed his hand. So he can become one of the greatest writers in the Catholic Church. The Eastern branch of Catholicism. If you've ever read the life of John Damascus, he was the Thomas Aquinas of Eastern Catholicism. He was the Thomas Aquinas. You know what Thomas Aquinas did? Thomas Aquinas put together all of the theology up to the 13th century and synthesized it in a very clear, easy to understand Latin, which would be translated into Italian and German and English. We have what is called the Summa Theologica of Thomas Aquinas. John Damascene did that, but he did this about 900 years before Thomas Aquinas was born. And also he's known for his beautiful poems, his beautiful songs that he wrote in honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So let's ask the Blessed Mother to help us to use our hands, to use our mind, to use our heart, to use our feet, to use our body, to glorify God like the Blessed Mother. Amen? Second story, from a German. It's a story of this little boy who hated to go to school. He hated to go to school. You know why? Because he was a lousy student. He couldn't seem to understand anything. So one day, he was climbing up a ladder and he was trying to play hooky, say a cella pinta, Spanish, huh? Trying to play hooky. So he's climbing up this ladder, and at the top of the ladder, he meets the Blessed Mother. She says, "Albertito." "Now, Albert, where are you going?" And he says, "Well, I'm getting out of here. I can't stand this school stuff. I can't learn anything." And she says, "Well, why didn't you ask me? Can I ask you?" "Of course you can." So he said, "Lady, help me to learn." She gave him an incredible gift, a lady's seed of wisdom. He became the most brilliant man in the world. He became an expert in biology, in chemistry, in physics, in logic, in philosophy, in the Bible, in theology. His name is Saint Albert the Great. And he had a student that was even greater than him, and the name of his student was G.K. Chesterton, wrote his life, The Dumb Ox. His name was Thomas Aquinas. That would have never happened if he didn't encounter the woman on the top of the ladder. Guess who that woman was? Any of you know? It was the Blessed Virgin Mary. I love that story. I love that story. So forever struggling intellectually, maybe to learn another language, maybe understand theology, maybe understand whatever study it might be, why don't we turn to Mary? Her name is the Seat of Wisdom. Mary is the mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit, and she can obtain for us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Very often before I give a talk, I will always pray to Mary, and I ask Mary to obtain for me the Holy Spirit. And she hears. Mary listens. We got to believe. So I'd like to close, because the Immaculate Conception is the patron of the United States and the patron of the Philippines. Did you know that, Fran? And I'd like to invite all of you to do this. What happens in the Philippines every day at 12 noon? Hello? Is that true? So every day in the Philippines at 12 noon, everything stops and they pray the Angelus. When I heard that, that filled me with so much consolation. So wherever you work in a hospital, or you work in a store, you work in a grocery, why don't you ask your manager, stop everything at 12 noon to pray the Angelus. Amen? What do you think he's going to say? There are miracles, right? There are miracles. But if you can't pray publicly there at your work, at least every day at 12 noon, pray the Angelus. That's a very, very beautiful prayer. And if you ever studied it theologically, it summarizes the two pillars of our Catholic faith. It summarizes the incarnation when Mary said yes to the angel, and it summarizes the Paschal mystery. By his passion and death, may we be brought to the glory of the resurrection. And who was present there at the incarnation? Who was present there at the passion and death of Jesus Christ? It was the Blessed Virgin Mary. So the beginning of our redemption, and the end of our redemption, the Blessed Virgin Mary was present there. So my friends, hopefully you're really going to love Mary. You're going to renew your devotion to Mary. Because Mary is the highway to heaven. She's the quickest, easiest pathway to the heart of Jesus Christ is through the heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Amen. And first pray the creed. Please stand.